Blessed morning, everyone. Blessed morning, everyone. I don't know how you feel, but I know I'm feeling a lot heavier right now. I mean, heavier in terms of, I was just sharing with Pastor Kara earlier this morning. You know, previously in my account books, it will be just me, my family, and I. And then right now in my account books, there are many more pages that goes into all the congregants of Grace City Church as well. But it's not I, but Christ in us. Amen? Amen. Now, let's open this time with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to acknowledge that you are the head of this church. And Lord, that we are your instruments. We are here, Lord, as your willing vessels. It is not us, Lord, who will bring about anything at all. It is you, and it's all about you and your Spirit. So, Lord, even as we come before you this morning, Lord, we place ourselves humbly at your feet. And we ask, O Lord, that you will just speak your word this morning through your Spirit. Lord, give us eyes, O Lord, to see, ears to hear, hearts that are open, O Father, with good soul. And let your word, O Father, just sink deep into each of our hearts, bringing forth fruit, bringing forth life, bringing forth transformation, Lord, that we may be shaped more and more into the image of Christ. Lord, we commit ourselves to you, we commit this time to you, we honor you as Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. So, wow. In the earlier few weeks, we covered on the various aspects of our mission statement for Grace City Church. We've covered on the heart of worship. We've covered on the heart of for work. Pastor Kara shared on that. We've covered the heart for witness. And this week, we will be covering the fourth aspect of our mission statement, that is the heart for the word, and that is God's word. Now, today's Bible passage is going to be from Psalm 119. But at 22 stanzas and 176 verses, I don't think we can cover the whole of the psalm today. So we will be referring to just excerpts of it as we go along this morning. Heart for the word. Now, as I was thinking of heart for the word of God, there are two key questions that comes to mind. One, what does a heart for the word look like? And two, how do I cultivate and sustain a heart for the word? But first, let us first address and look at some important truths of what is the word of God. Now, I'm going to highlight to you just four truths this morning, and it's obviously not exhaustive, but I only have time for these four truths. The first truth is, God's word reveals who God is. It is a revelation of God. God's word reveals his nature, his attributes, and his heart. Now, scriptures, what we have as the Bible today, reveals God as the creator. He's the sovereign one, the almighty God, eternal God. He's the only true and living God. He's also our good heavenly Father, who is gracious, merciful, compassionate, and he's also our vindicator. He's the one who will vindicate his people. He's also the just, the righteous judge. Now, Jesus Christ is the Word of God in person. In John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. So Jesus is the Word of God. And in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. So when we look at Jesus, we are seeing the exact representation of God the Father. And Jesus is God. So that's truth number one. God's word is a revelation of himself. The second thing is, God's word reveals his will. It's a revelation of His will for His people, the world, and the whole of creation, the entire cosmos. God's word is a roadmap, a guide, a direction, a map for us to have a meaningful and fruitful life and work on earth according to His plan and His purpose. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist wrote, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word imparts wisdom and understanding for our daily living. God's word shows us each step that we should take, and it also gives us direction in life. What we often miss out about one aspect of God's word is that God's word also exhorts and shows us how we should live in relation to one another and to His creation, in alignment to His perfect plan and purpose. We are made to be in a community. We are not made to survive and live alone. We are made to be good stewards of His creation. We are not made to abuse His creation. The third truth, God's word is a firm foundation for our lives. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. People, governments, technologies, climate may all change, but God's word never changes. His promises are sure and steadfast. And God, by the way, is not slow to fulfill His promises. Amen? Fourth truth, God's word is our daily bread. It grows, nourishes, and sustains us on a daily basis. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, just as how we need bread, we need food to sustain our daily physical lives, we cannot expect to grow and to flourish spiritually in our spirit man without living on the Word of God daily. Now, I emphasize living on because it includes two actions here. One, partaking of the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, and two, applying it, assimilating it into our lives. We need to live on the Word of God. Two actions. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, illustrates this point very aptly. Let me just read that for you very quickly. Psalm chapter 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord," the Word of God. "And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree that is planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers." Now, only when we abide in the life-giving words of God, in Jesus as the bread of life and as the true vine, will we experience a fruitful and flourishing life in Christ. If we are going after a life that's meaningful, fruitful, flourishing, then we need to abide in the words of Christ, because Jesus said that His words are full of spirit and life. So let's do a quick recap on the four truths. Number one, the Word of God is both the teaching and revelation of God. The Word of God reveals His will for us, for the world and the whole of creation. God's Word is a firm foundation for our lives. And the Word of God, our daily bread, grows, nourishes, and sustains us. All right? So that's the Word of God. Now let's move on. Heart for the Word. What does that look like? Now the Bible says, or Jesus actually said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So oftentimes, when we are thinking of the heart, we are thinking about what comes to our mind, what comes to our daily conversations, how do we actually naturally react and live in our daily lives? Because all of that springs from the heart. Now let's refer to Psalm 119 and see what we can tell of the psalmist's heart towards the Word of God. Now reading from Psalm 119 verses 9 to 16, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the truths, all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So here, there are a few things that we can observe about the psalmist. The psalmist has God's word as the guiding ruler for his actions and life. Now, as I'm thinking of this image of a guiding ruler, I was just thinking, what would be the most appropriate image that would be helpful for us? And I thought of actually the image of, you know, have you guys ever seen a regimental sergeant major with a long stick under his arm? Yeah? And what is that stick for? It's a symbol of authority, but that stick actually opens up into somewhat like a caliper. It looks a little bit like a caliper. So it helps to measure in terms of marching drills, the uniformity in terms of marching drills, to make sure that everything is in order. And in the battlefield, apparently that stick is also used to ensure that the guns, the men, are positioned in the right position so that there's even firepower. That is called a pace stick. That pace stick, if the Word of God is the one that helps us to keep our lives in check, in accordance to His purpose, in accordance to the design that He had for us, so that we can flourish according to His Word. All right? So, what else? The psalmist also highly values and treasures God's Word. Just look at how he expresses himself. God's Word is at the forefront of the psalmist's life and of top priority. He seeks after God with all of his heart, his mind, and strength. Now, as we read through the whole of Psalm 119, we will also see that the psalmist has a passionate love for God's Word, an all-consuming zeal. He had unwavering trust, unrelenting faith, and confidence in God's Word and promises. You will notice how he will always say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, show me your salvation. Give me your deliverance, Lord. But I will wait on your word. I will wait for you. I will wait for you. He trusts God as the one who will rescue him, who will deliver him, who will vindicate him. He doesn't take things into his own hands. Do we too carry the same heart for God's word as the psalmist? Now, how do we cultivate then? How do we cultivate, and more importantly, how do we sustain a heart for God's word? Now, I'd like you to imagine with me this morning. Imagine you have got two lovers who know each other, they're two lovers, and they write letters to each other. Now, I know that these days, we don't write letters really very much, right? It's too slow. So what do? We send a WhatsApp chat, right? Or maybe you might use TikTok or whatever, you know? You use social media. But just imagine you got two lovers writing to each other. How will they read each other's words? when they receive the word, when they receive the letter, what goes on in the hearts? The hearts will skip a bit. It leaps a little bit for joy. Dear so-and-so, or my beloved cupcake, or my sweet cutie pie. And you just go, oh, right? As we read through, I mean, that sounds a little bit old-fashioned and cheesy, I know, but as we read through the letter, we savor every word of it. We wonder to ourselves, we see an image in our mind of it is as if our lover is just standing in front of us, delivering the words, himself or herself, right? We will read through the letter not just once. How many of you have read through the letter at least 5 times? Why did she say that? Why did he say that? Oh, can you say that again? Can you say that again? Think of that image right now. Now, when we read a letter from someone, how dear, how special, and how much attachment of our heart we give to the words of the letter depends on the extent of our encounter and relationship with him or her, right? Because if it's not your lover writing a letter, and if it's the tax office that's writing the letter to you, would you read the letter? Oh, my favorite tax controller has written to me. What's the extent of the relationship that you have? How much attachment do you give to it? So, a personal experience, a personal encounter is really important when we read a letter. Now, I would like to share with you this morning 3 key actions that had helped me to cultivate my heart and sustain my heart for the Word of God. And all 3 key actions starts with the letter D. The first action would be desire. In Psalm 119, verse 10, the psalmist wrote, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." There are 3 desires that I'd like to share with you personally for my personal desire, which I hope will help you as well in your heart for God. The first desire is a desire to know God truly and personally. I want to know how real God is. I don't want him to just be a figment of my imagination. And I remember that at the age of 13, I used to follow my mom to church since I was 7. And at the age of 13, I said, why must I go to church just because my mom goes to church? Why must I believe in this God, this so-called Christian God, just because she believes in him? So I started reading up on many other religions. I couldn't find a landing, couldn't quite get my answer. I remembered I looked out of the window one day into the sky, and I said, God, if you are real, then show yourself to me that you are real. I desire to know him truly and personally. And the reason why I'm here today is because God has indeed revealed himself to me. I'll save that bit of the story for another time. The second desire that I have is to know the reality of his word. If God says in his word that he provides, that he heals, that he saves, that he delivers, I want to experience that for myself. Because I used to tell people, there's one job occupation that I can't do. I don't think I can do. And that is to be a salesperson. Because I cannot sell a vacuum cleaner if I know that the vacuum cleaner is not wonderful. I can't sell a car if I am not convinced about a car. So I want to know, does God still heal today? Does he still provide? I don't want to read the Bible as just some form of a religious literature. I want to experience it. And again, the reason why I'm here today on sharing on a heart for God's word is because the Lord has revealed to me many times the reality, given me the experience on the reality of His Word. Again, I'll save all those stories for another time. The third desire, a desire to go deeper in my relationship with the Lord. Just as how Abraham and Moses spoke to God like a friend, how David's heart was after God's heart, or as how Jesus knew God the Father intimately as His Father, I desire too for oneness in heart, mind, and spirit with my Lord Jesus. So first one, desire. Second, discipline. Now, a heart for God's Word does not happen automatically, I can assure you that. We need to be intentional, committed, determined, and we need to persevere. Psalm 119, verses 13 to 16, it says, "With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your way. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Can you detect the intentionality of language there? I will, I do, I declare, I fix my eyes. There is great intentionality and commitment. Now, I'm going to share with you just a few steps that I took on how I built my discipline for the Word of God. Firstly, prioritize God's Word. Set aside time each day. What we value, we will give priority to. So what are the things that in our lives that are taking priority over God's Word? Before we start, before I start the day, I try to start the day with reading of the Lord's Word. It could be just one chapter. In the middle of the day, I might just pull up my phone and read the Word of God there. At the end of the day, before I sleep, the last thing that I want to know before I sleep is to fill my mind and my heart with God's Word before I sleep as well. But the psalmist says that he praises God 7 times a day. That's a figure of speech by saying that God's praise, his praise for God, is throughout the entire day itself. Second thing I do is this. I'll choose to soak myself in God's Word. I meditate on His Word, and I memorize. We need to be selective over what we read, watch, what we listen to, and what we indulge in. For one, I know I have to stay away from Facebook, because a lot of stuff that are in there are probably not going to help my heart or my soul. Neither is it going to give me much direction in my life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said this, "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So be selective over what we dwell, let our minds dwell on. The next thing is, keep company and keep fellowship with people who have a vibrant relationship with God and His Word. We need to be in a company of Bible-believing, faith-building brothers and sisters. This is not to say that we exclude ourselves from the world, but we need a community where we can draw strength and where we can encourage each other. We need to learn from one another. We need to spur each other on. And importantly, when we come together as a community, we need to listen for God speaking through the Spirit of Christ that is also in our brothers and sisters. The fourth thing is, in building this discipline, I know it's not easy to hold a discipline. And that's where I know I have to ask and rely on the Holy Spirit to enable and empower me to keep my eyes and heart on the Word of God each day, to fan the passion and a holy hunger for His Word. And my prayer is, Lord, give me an insatiable hunger for your word each day, that I really need your word like my daily manna each day. Now, the third thing, the third D is this. If we want to encounter and experience God and His Word, then we need to do it. In Psalm 119, verse 59 to 60, the psalmist wrote, "When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments." In James chapter 1, verse 22, James wrote, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." In other words, if we only listen but not act according to the word of God, we are only fooling and deluding ourselves. Apply God's word into our daily lives and put it into practice. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, he says that the man who hears and does the word of God is like the wise man who builds his house on the rock being the word of God, whose house will be able to stand in the midst of the storms of this world. And just to make sure that he gets his point correctly understood and get it across, he says, the man who hears but does not apply the word of God is like the one who builds his house on the sand, and he will suffer great loss when the storms arrive. The application of God's word requires faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For we also," this is the author of Hebrews writing to the Jewish Christians of that day, "for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed." The reality and power of God's word is experienced only when we respond in faith to His word. To put it in another way, the word of God will not profit us if we do not receive and respond to it in faith. And finally, under the point of application, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 23 to 24, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." So walking in God's word is also a demonstration and expression of our love for Christ Jesus. By walking in his word, we will experience the manifest presence of God in our lives. So truly, if we want to experience the reality of God in our lives, and we want to say, "Lord, is your word true? Lord, are you true? How real are you? How real is your word?" then we will have to respond to it in faith. When God speaks through his word and we hear his voice, are we willing to respond in faith and in obedience? So let me summarize the three D's. How to cultivate and sustain a heart for God's word. Number one, desire. Desire to encounter God and his word and to go deeper in fellowship with him. Two, discipline. Establish God's word as the foundation of our lives and put it at the forefront of our lives. Three, do it. Apply the word of God in faith and obedience out of our love for him. In all three areas, we need the Holy Spirit to enable and empower us, to help us reach out to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us who believe in Christ. Reach out to him. Ask him to inspire us with his word, to illuminate our minds as we read and as we meditate on his word, and to enable us to live out his word, to embody His Word. I want to share with you right now just a personal testimony of God's Word in my life. I realize that I'm a little bit overstretching, but I just very want to just quickly mention a few things on my personal testimony. Now, in regard to the desire to know God truly and whether is He real, whether is His Word real, my dad was, when I came to know Christ, my dad was not a believer. And I used to tell people that it's harder to save my dad than to save the Apostle Paul. Okay? I prayed for my dad, together with my mom and my sisters. We prayed for our dad, my dad, I prayed for him for maybe 27 years. And I say, Lord, I thank you that with every day that he's alive, that he has breath in his nose, breath in his lungs, that it is your grace and by your mercy that he is still here and he still has a chance to turn to you. And your will, as written in 2 Peter chapter 3, is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and repentance in God, in Christ. And I prayed that, we prayed that for 27 years, and praise the Lord, he accepted Christ at the age of 63, and not only accepted Christ, but he encountered the Lord personally for himself. My dad, salvation. God still saves. Does God heal? I have got many testimonies to share with you of how I have personally received healing in my own body. How my sister, who's 12 years younger than me, my younger sister, when she was born at 5 months premature, she was only 700 plus grams. Just probably the size of your palm. And how, after 4 months in hospital, the Lord raised her, lifted her up. Today, she's in her 30s. Well and good. How Ashlyn, my daughter, my older daughter, could have died on day one. But by the Lord's grace, she's here today. God healed her and restored her. How my wife, over the last few days, we were praying because there was a growth. And how the Lord healed her and touched her, and she's well. How I woke up yesterday and I couldn't get out of bed because my back was in tremendous pain. And I was wondering, how am I going to come to church today? And the Lord has strengthened and healed me so that I'm still standing here. Does God still heal? The reality of God's Word. I'd like to share with you now, let me just summarize this bit now. How is God's Word a part of my life? How does it provide direction for my life? Now, about 5 to 6 years ago, God impressed on my wife and I that we are to step out of our comfort zones and to relocate from Singapore to Perth. Now, at that point in time, I have just transitioned from the marketplace as a banker into the full-time church ministry. And frankly, that was already a huge leap of faith for me. And I stepped into that, and now the Lord is saying, now I want you to come out of Singapore and to move into this foreign country. Now, we had no family, no friends here, no ministry opportunities, no jobs, don't know anyone, don't know where to stay, have clueless completely, and it's like, Lord, is this really you? And it's an even bigger step of faith for us. And so we took 1.5 years to pray. And I had a lot of struggles. I had a lot of thoughts and worries and concerns in my mind because I have a young family, relatively young family, with 2 children. During that time, I asked God, Lord, I'm the eldest son in the family, the eldest child. What about my mom and what about my sisters? Who will look after them? And then God led me to this passage in Matthew where he says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Me being Jesus. Then I asked God, Lord, what about finances? I don't have a job, you know. And I heard that it's very difficult to find a job in Perth. And we do not have much savings either. How do I start life in a new place? House, car? What about my children's education? What about their future? And the Lord gave me a few passages over a period of 2 weeks, of which one of them was in Matthew chapter 6, where he says that, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothes. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Then I said, Lord, can you at least show me what you have in store for us, you know, just so that I know that we are not taking this step blindly. Then God led me to this passage in Jeremiah chapter 18. It says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I felt that the Lord was calling us to first take that step of faith according to his earlier word that he has spoken. And only after I have responded to his word in obedience and faith will he reveal the next step for me. Let me say that again, because I think that this is also a word for someone here this morning. Only after I have responded to his word in obedience and faith will he reveal the next step for me. Now, there were many miracles that followed thereafter when we moved over from Singapore to Perth on arrival here. I don't have time to share with you all the various miracles that the Lord had. How he provided the house, how he provided for the car, even whilst we were still in Singapore. We were not here yet. And we already got the house, we already got the car. How he revived our front lawn of the rental property that was truly well and dead, brown and dead. And it was in the middle of summer. And how he brought it up and he revived it. How he saved us of a car repair job that was supposed to be $8,000-$10,000 or more than the cost of the car itself, and how that repair became $75. Perhaps one of the biggest steps of faith so far as well, another big step of faith, was for us coming even into Grace City Church. Now, the Holy Spirit used all these Bible passages to address my questions and concerns. They were God's spoken word to me, his rhema to me. While experiences are not the be-all and end-all, these God-given experiences have helped translate my knowledge of God and his promises from just mere head knowledge into a personal encounter and experience, a conviction of my heart. I find that walking closely with the Lord, listening and relying on his word, cultivates my heart and relationship with him and my sensitivity to his Spirit's leading. And as I strive to be led by God in all areas, all aspects of my life, my desire is that this would be a witness to my children and to those around me on how to live according to the word of God, that they would see what a relationship with the living God looks like. The glory of God being made manifest when we live by the word of God, and that so that they too will live likewise. Now, in this world that we are living in, with an increasing deluge of false information, deception, temptations, cancel culture, compromise, fear, we cannot rely on mere knowledge or just a mental persuasion of God's word. We need a personal encounter and a personal conviction of God's word in order to stand fast and to stand firm in our faith in Christ. If we do not have the word of God within us as a firm foundation, or if we do not have his word as the lamp on our feet and the light to our path, how will we weather the upcoming storms to come? Remember that when Jesus was tempted by Satan during his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, Satan deceptively and distortedly used the scripture from the book of Deuteronomy in his temptations. But Jesus countered and overcome those temptations, also using the word of God within the rightful context of God's heart and his will. So it is not just about head knowledge of God's word, but knowing how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, against the schemes of the evil one. How to live in alignment to God's will, purpose, his heart for the world. And the key to all of this is to listen and obey. Listen and obey by the Spirit of God who lives in us. By the way, having a heart for God's word is not only about studying more or gaining more head knowledge. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. It can result in pride, and pride blinds us. On the contrary, a heart for the Word of God should result in greater humility as we encounter the God who is infinite, almighty, and who dwells in unapproachable light. Also, we see in James chapter 3 that the wisdom and understanding that God imparts to us through his word should result in peace, gentleness, and good fruits. But earthly wisdom is characterized by jealousy, envy, selfish ambition, and is sensual and demonic. If we want to have our hearts like his heart, God's heart, then we need to encounter God and keep encountering him, primarily through his word. Our hearts of worship, work, and witness flows out of our heart for his word. To the extent of the revelation that we receive of God, we worship. Work becomes meaningful, fruitful, joyful, of good quality when we know God's will and flow in tandem with him. And we can stand as true and faithful witnesses to the reality of God when we know the story, the gospel, and when we live in the story, when we live the gospel. Now in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19, it says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. One's life reflects the heart. How is your heart for the Word of God today? How is your heart for Jesus, who is the Word of God? Is there a burning in our hearts when we read his word? As how the disciples who walked on the road to Emmaus and they heard Jesus open the word of God and open scriptures to them, and how their hearts burned while his word was spoken. Is there a burning in our hearts? Is there a deep hunger for the word of God? Or has reading the word of God just become a chore, just a checkbox? Do you desire to revive the flame of passion for God and his word? Do you too desire to encounter and experience the reality and power of God's word? Are you willing to allow his word to shape us more into the image of Christ, so that others will encounter Christ and his love through us? I'd like to invite you right now to just take a moment to bow your heads and to respond to the Lord in your own way. As the worship team just make your way up. Is there a burning in our hearts? Do we desire for a revival of the flame of passion for God and his word? Do we desire to encounter and experience the reality and power of God's word? would we allow His word to change us, to transform us into the image of Christ? I'd like to pray for all of us now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that was spoken, and we ask that your Spirit will now put your word, your personal word, into each of our hearts. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help us, Lord, to respond to you in faith and in obedience, because you are all in all. You are our life. Lord, we are nothing apart from you. And we are here today only because of you. We have a hope for eternity only just because of you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will stir up within us. Stir up within us a passion for your name, a passion for your word. Give us an insatiable hunger for your word. Renew our passion for our Savior, for the lover of our soul, Jesus Christ. Grant us faith and courage to be able to respond to you in faith and in obedience. Let our ears always be open to your voice, our hearts always be open and soft before you. Grant us fresh revelations of God and of your word, that as we read your word, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things in your word. And take us, Lord, deeper into intimacy in fellowship with you. That, Lord, that we will grow in oneness in Christ, that our hearts will beat with your heart. Our minds will be of the same mind of Christ. That our steps will be in pace with your spirit. We commit all of these to you and ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for the word. Can we stand up? As we come to the end of our service today, the heart for His word. We need God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We need His word to become living and fresh. Not stale bread. Living and fresh. God, create a hunger in your heart. A hunger for His word. Just as you physically feel hungry, may you spiritually also have a hunger for God's word. Let's lift our hand as we close this morning. I want you to know throughout this week, God is your protector. That He will protect you. He will not let your foot slip. He will not sleep. None will he stumble. That God is your keeper, and He will shield you by His right hand. He will sustain you, and the Lord will keep you from all evils. Do not fear what is to come. Let the word of God be living and powerful and real. Experience the reality and the power of His living word. And let Him protect you in your going out and in your coming in, that every day in this week you will stand firm and stay fast in the foundation of His word, which is life. In Jesus' name, Lord, I bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't be in a hurry to go. Stay back for fellowship. Congratulate Pastor Aaron and his family. Shake their hand. Give them a hug.